Can we assume that since we met a week ago, we know one another? Am I correct? Why don't you introduce the ABC world in here? And I can see you, I can see the culprit. I can see the culprit.
All right. Thank you, Chair. I request that the MECs introduce themselves. It's only just fair.
Just MECs. Yeah. And your officials, if you are coming with an official. Otherwise, in this furniture of TLC, we're getting used to it now.
Thank you, Chair. I am Supervisor Lucy, the MEC responsible for social development in the Eastern Cape. HOG, I was there, but she was here last time. Lucy Dobeka.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Nonhlanhla Khoza, MEC for social development in KwaZulu-Natal. Unfortunately, myself and the HOD, we couldn't meet it last time.
I'm Tali Shong, the MEC for Social Development in Mpumalanga. I'm with the acting chief director. Good morning. I am Dr. Maseko. Good morning, Chairperson. Witumelomuilwa is my name. Witumelomuilwa. Muilwa. M-O-I-L. MEC for Social Development Northwest.
I'm Charles Malaka, Chief Director. Social Welfare Services, Northwest. Thank you.
Yes. I said the MEC.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. My name is Shana Fernandez, and I'm the MEC for Social Development in the Western Cape, accompanied by my HOD. I unfortunately had a cabinet meeting on that day. Thank you.
Robert MacDonald, Head of Department for Social Development, Western Cape. MacDonald.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, colleagues. I'm Martha Bartlett, MEC Social Development from the Northern Cape. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Members, National Minister, colleagues, and Dini Sampson on the Yellow Department for DSD in the Northern Cape.
Morning, Chairperson. I'm Gagarin Rafale, MEC for Social Development in Limpopo. I'm with the HOD. She was here. Yes. You want to come back again? That's good. Okay.
And good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, MEC's colleagues. My name is Mokwani Ntongwa, and I'm the HOD Social Development Free State.
The MEC was here last
night. Yes. Good morning,
Honorable Chair and members, ministers, MECs, my name is Thembeni Mhlongo, HOD Social Development, Gauteng.
We want to have a minister to say every province in whichever way is represented. Thank you very much. They know you, honorable members. You must not be over introduced. You are the we are the political furniture. Right? Let me greet everyone. Let me greet you, honorable members, honorable minister and the team, members of the public, on this special day to deal with an issue which I don't consider simple. I don't want us to waste time. Let's hand over to the minister to take us through. Actually, today, these necessities of meetings. I'm worried about what tasks at hand. Any apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, the minister, and officials from the department and stakeholders with us. I have a couple of apologies, Chairperson. One is from the deputy minister, who is not with us today. She is officiating at a certain event in Mpumalanga for the Tlaisari Disability Center and Waste Management in Bunga. Another apology is from the MEC in Free State. She is not with us today because she's attending an EXO meeting reporting on the same matter that will be discussed today. Mm-hmm. Another one is from Honorable Pambo Sipogwana, who is not too well. Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks.
Can I table an apology, honorable members? The deputy minister is at work where she is. Honorable members, I'm tabling the agenda for adoption. We don't know. Anyone? Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Honorable Vana is moved for adoption in a second. Honorable Basam.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the seconding the adoption of the agenda.
Any counter? None. So the agenda is adopted. We have got one item for the day. Yes, ma'am?
Thank you, Chairperson. My hand was up before it was adopted. I just wanted to say something in terms of apologies. As provinces or as KZN, these meetings coincide with the cabinet day, so we will be seen as MECs not able to come to this meeting, not because we are undermining the such meeting. Thank you, Chair.
I don't think we have got this delusion or illusion that everyone will always be here. As long as there's a credible apology and MEC sending somebody who can interact effectively with the process. But to have politicians here is very ideal. But thanks for drawing our attention to that. Honourable Minister, we're in your hands.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would not necessarily want to go back to why we are here and all that. I think it is clearly understood. May I apologize that I unfortunately ran a bit late from where I was in another meeting. Also indicate, Chair, that before I went to the cabinet meeting, I had a brief with all the MECs so as just to have a sense of where we are from the implementation, not only an implementation of the court order, in my view. In my view, it is about us as a department and our agencies taking responsibility of the tasks that are ahead of us, firstly, but also to share with the MECs our, again, portfolio view, which is now even cemented more by government's own approach of an integrated work that needs to be done by all government departments in the three, as particularly in the three spheres of government. And to further make the emphasis that we are not three governments, we are one government with three spheres of government, and therefore the importance of us working together from national, provincial, as well as local. Also with the MECs, we thought we would not necessarily just zoom into the case that's in front of us. That is for myself as a minister. Obviously, the MECs representing their provinces are here for only one issue. But we thought always having the conversation about how we are supposed to implement our strategies, including the fact that we are all now going to be going through our strat plans. We're going to be going through our strat plans and would like a coordinated approach also to our strat plans at national, provincial and local. And also I was making the emphasis to the MEC's chairperson and honorable members that it is not right for us to be pushed by either courts or other institutions to be able to do our work. More so when we ourselves have written down our strategies, our plans, whether it's 5 years or 3 years or 1 year, or it's our annual plans, it is not correct. And I'm looking at it in the sixth administration to say, as a minister, myself and the department and everyone, we must do the best that we can not to be forced by court decisions for us to be able to implement what we have to do. I also made the emphasis to the MECs today because I take it that the reason why I'm making this background, Honorable Chair, and excuse me for taking time, it is simply because unless we really we work together and closely together, we will never be able to deal with the issues of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. And this issue of foster care finds itself squarely in that space, especially if you look at what is being said by our own reports in relation to the foster care, the children themselves, the caregivers, and what goes on around some really doing the work, the fostering and caring, some also doing it for other purposes other than what it is supposed to be. And therefore, I had to take this step back and say to the MECs, let us find each other, let us work with each other. It's not about us, it is about the children that we are supposed to serve. I also had to make the emphasis, Chair, that in going through all the reports in preparation for this meeting here, being a new minister also, I realized that sometimes we run around, work like as if nothing has been done, work as if there aren't any documents that we can refer to. And I came across a document which is findings of the Minister's Committee on Foster Care. That document, in my view, is a document that takes us through in terms of engagements with the province. What year was this, by the way? 2020. You see, this document is a 2014 document. And so I went also... No, the Minister... had a committee on foster care, and minister's committee on foster care had findings, and the findings covered progress of engagement with provinces. It covered profile and scope of interviews that were conducted. It covers scope of interviews clearly, even with the table, in fact, of the provinces that were covered. The committee reviewed the drafted data collection. It goes on and on, and then it had themes
which are like main themes: nature of foster care placement, nature of foster care service provided to foster family, foster child circumstances, systemic elements, living circumstances of foster children. It goes to foster care circumstances, nature of foster placement. It goes on and on in actually dealing almost with what we are dealing with now. So my view is that we also do need to take a step back and say, what are the things that we've gone through? What are the recommendations that have been there? How much have we gone in implementing those foster care decisions? It talks about basket of services accessed by foster care children. And one of the things that I found there was that it was observed that in some provinces, social workers are not aware of other services that are available in communities that can be accessed by foster children. Thus, it's important to have community profiles that are regularly updated. You know, I don't want to go on and on with it, but just to say, this report, in my view, should have been, and other reports, should have been a report, if implemented the recommendations. It should have been enabling us not to come to a point where some people have to take us to court in order for the decisions of our own government are implemented. Now, I am not a chairperson wanting to put blame or anything of that sort. The reason why I'm saying this, it is because I want to say we cannot be the ones who say, oh, the policies are good, everything is good, but the challenge is in implementation. Who's supposed to implement? It's us who have to implement. So I'm saying to you, I sit here because I have this strong feeling that we just need to go back to what ourselves have set out to do in as far as foster care is concerned. I also would like to say that all key interventions, in my view, whichever way the key interventions have been coming from, it's our responsibility to begin to implement them. And I'm saying this because I said also to the MECs, this issue of foster care is a very sensitive issue, as you rightfully said, Chair. But it is an issue that we can be able to deal with this, with it, because if we can just change where the systems are not right, and make sure that we do the right thing by the people, by the way. Because I was thinking to myself, the children who are in foster care should be at the center of whatever we want. Because I'm of the view that we'll be shocked to find that there's lots of gems in those foster cares. Children who could be your president, your minister, your whatever in the future if the environment is created for them. I was also saying to the MECs, maybe we need to find some possible uniformity in the manner in which we do some of these things and have lessons that we can learn from each other as MECs and make sure that what is good in KZN that can find resonance in Eastern Cape or Northern Cape. We shouldn't be here and each one of us just saying, me, I'm the MEC of the Northern Cape, and I don't care what happens in other places. We should be able to share our best practices collectively so that we can then be able to improve our systems. We might even find that the systems that are there, we can improve them. I was even saying to the MECs, there's technology today. What is it that stops us? I was reading there in the documents that they talk about implements of trade for the social workers and others, and I found some other provinces to be very creative about how they can use, including the social workers, but they can also use graduates of universities to be trained to come in here. So, SASA is also supposed to be here. I hope they finally did arrive. Because we want to continue to use the portfolio approach to make sure that we improve in our systems. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. So thank you. I was looking for them this morning. So, Chairperson, without taking too much time, my view is that the very report that I'm quoting from other reports that I was quoting from, they speak to social structures collapse, they speak to psychosocial problems, they speak to social ills, they speak to foster parents unsuitable to care for these children, they speak to single parents with dependents who end up abusing the system, they speak to misuse of foster care system, fraud, and one of the issues which I also raised is related to children with special needs, because in most of the documents that I was reading, I was not finding that specific element that deals with children with disability or with children with special care, because it's easy for us who are able to be mobile and all to think about ourselves and we forget about the fact that there are children who have special needs in different ways. And so lastly, I then indicated to the MECs that part of what government has launched yesterday in Lusikisiki is this issue of descending on districts model, because I think if we are going to break it down to districts, appreciating and understanding the district itself and the challenges that are in the district, and therefore zooming down to what is relevant to us as the Department of Social Development, interconnected to other departments, because I'm of the view that we can sit here as social development. If the education system is not working very well, we are in trouble. If the infrastructure is not going very well, we are in trouble. If the health system is not doing very well, we are in trouble. So all the other departments are of major importance to us as a Department of Social Development, as well as our agencies, to make sure that we deliver our services as agreed upon. So we started at a national level with the launch of this descending on district level in Lusikisiki, and the next one is in eThekwini, and the president is going to be covering all these. Of course, it's quite a number of districts, but within the 5 years, we are hoping that we can then have a focus. Having said that, Chairperson, I wish to thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I'm going to hand over to the department to make a presentation which is a consolidated report that will include what comes out from the provinces. And also to say at some point I'm going to leave them, because I've got to go back to where I was, because there is an item that deals with us as social development. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. Honorable Seke is she wants to travel the world. So because of the logistic challenges, she requests to be released so that her world travel is smooth. You are released, Honorable Seke. We know you are a diligent attendant of the committee. Thanks, Minister. What we want to focus on today is a concrete picture that must be believed by the committee that the deadlines are going to be met. Did you? That's all we're looking for. You are here. I was saying to you, I was saying to the DG Minister before, I said that word turnaround is a very big word. A number of times when you go behind it, you find something else. But I believe to find a turnaround behind that. Who is going to present, Minister? Your remarks, Minister, are highly appreciated. I think all of us are looking forward to the district-based system, which puts government closer to the people.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. He handed over to Minister, MEC, and HODs and colleagues. Honorable Chair, I take this presentation as read, so what I will focus on is the key areas that will show the turnaround.
Corey, this is a different presentation we want today.
We want you to work with us. We want to make an assumption. We're not dealing with any thesis today. We're dealing with the concrete steps for implementation. So we're not technical people. We thank you for giving us the document. Yeah, please make us understand what you gave us. Make us understand it better. We thank you for giving it to us, and we appreciate that. It's very professional of the department. But don't say you are going to pick for ourselves. Proceed, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will go through slide by slide. This is the outline of the presentation, where I will try to zoom into the key areas that were also raised at the previous meeting. And I'll give just to indicate where are we in terms of the numbers and the status, but also the analysis and the overall challenges and how we're going to deal with those challenges as a sector. As a way of introduction, Honorable Chair and members, we came here. We were asked to come back and present some changes or turnaround that will comfort South Africans, including the committee, that we're going to meet a deadline as a sector in ensuring that the court order is complied with. We have also circulated the 9 individual provincial reports because they go into details in terms of how they're going to deal with the issues, but I've synthesized and analyzed, and what I'm presenting also speaks to what each of the provinces has indicated. As we are here today, we know that we are supposed to comply with Prayer 2, and which has got 2.1 and 2.2, but also Prayer 5, which in the previous presentation I highlighted them in red because they were a key focus for discussion. So in terms of this Prayer 2, 2.1, we just want to indicate that even at the last meeting, we did indicate we came up with a policy that informed the amendments of the Children's Act, which we call the Children's Amendment Bill, which was subsequently tabled to Parliament on the 19th of February 2019, because Minister was given 15 months from the court date to comply by tabling this bill. And this bill also, to comfort the minister, takes into consideration the recommendations of the ministerial committee and other issues that were coming out to address the challenges of foster care. Now, in relation to prayer to paragraph 2.2, that's where now it specifically talks to provinces, where we're saying that they are continuing to make strides, which I will speak to because there are slides that speaks to each province, around making sure that they make resources available and they deal with the cases by ensuring that social workers do have tools of trade, which are listed in that slide. And this is done with current budgetary allocations. So provinces did not receive additional budgets since the implementation of this legislation. And I also need to indicate that there was costing done. We do have a costing report for this bill, the Children's Act, when it was adopted. But the reality of the matter was that the allocation was less than 10% in terms of additional budget that was allocated. And this bill, when it was costed, indicated that we just need 16,000 social workers just to implement Children's Act, not deal with other things. But I think the reality is we even have less than 16,000 to deal with all social ills that are facing the country in terms of numbers of social workers. So in terms of the slides that will follow, I've got slides that will indicate where are we in terms of the current beneficiaries of foster care. Also the orders that are due to lapse, because currently we don't have lapsed orders. We only have orders that are due to lapse by the end of November, which needs to be extended beyond November. Now, as a country, we have 416,441 children who are in the foster care system in total. That's the number. So it's broken down into provinces. That graph It's a total population of foster care, irrespective of situation, whether you're affected by North Gauteng High Court order or not. This is a total population in terms of the SOC plan by the 8th of September. Now, when we presented on the 4th, I think it was on the 4th, we presented a number of projected court orders affected by a high court order which will lapse by end of November. That number subsequently went down to 89. It was 128,383, I think, to be precise. Now, today, the number is 89,538. When we presented last time, the SOCPEN data we used was up to July, but now it's current statistics because cases have been taken to court in between. Now, that slide is very important, Honorable Chairperson, because it breaks down that number of 89,538, and it's per province. It shows how the province is saying, we're going to deal with this number in September. For instance, if we take Eastern Cape, they've got 18,000 cases that are due to lapse by the end of November. Now, they are committing that in September, they are going to deal with 6,035, October 6,020, November 6,010, for them to be able to make sure that that 18 is dealt with. Same goes with other provinces in terms of their numbers. I'll talk to how they say they're going to do it in the later slides. Now, this is how they are saying they're going to do it. Gauteng, they've got 9,932 cases, and they've allocated 350 social workers over a period of 8 weeks with a calculation that each social worker, if that social worker deals with 5 cases per week, they will be able to deal with the cases that are affected by the North Gauteng High Court.
Can you just clarify something, so that we're on the same page? It's one thing to talk numbers, it's another to have a common understanding of if it's one, what is exactly is being done. If you say to lapse, the court case speaks about paying those who have lapsed, even if they have lapsed. Declare them as valid even if a court has not made the order call. Now, I'm listening to you. You're saying these numbers are the numbers of people who will lapse by the end of November. And then you're coinciding that with the deadline of the deal, am I correct? I want you to clarify that. Because let me tell you, so that we are together, the confusion some of us are laboring in. Where I'm sitting, when I read these prayers, there's where the court says, having suspended the status of invalidity for 24 months, even if the order has lapsed or not. My understanding is that it says there are orders which are in the system, there are orders which are due to lapse or which have lapsed. It says during these 24 months, whatever lapses during that time, if I read it properly, its invalidity is suspended, right? But there's an interesting part down there, which is, I think it's 5.3, which I want you to explain that, maybe before you even go to the stand, so that we're together, we're working on the same minister. It says that, notwithstanding the terms of this order, nothing shall prevent children's court during the existence of this order and or after it has lapsed from hearing a matter and making an appropriation order in terms of the children regarding a foster care
order falling within the ambit of this order, which may include extending, terminating, or whatever. Let me tell you how my pedestrian interpretation of this is. It first responds to the fact that we had a crisis of children who, because their order has lapsed, are not being paid. Because a new process must take place so that they qualify to be paid. Now, you articulated last week at that time the factors that are actually responsible for that. Now, the court says no child who is in the system, even if the court order has lapsed during this 25 months, will not be paid because of that. Am I correct? Fine. Now, it says in 5.2, notwithstanding whatever, and so on. The impression I have, because when we talk about this, it's easy to talk about figures, so we must know exactly, we must be together when we look at those figures. 5.3 seems to be saying, whatever you've been doing in the normal course of day before you came to this court, which is usually supposed to be done by the children's or the court, that continues. Let me tell you my confusion about it, so that before we go to the numbers, we must find one another on the substance. Where I'm sitting, I'm saying, so that you listen to all my confusion. Where I'm sitting, I'm saying, because of the situation in 5.3, which complicates the operationability of these things, 5.3 is the status quo. Am I correct? 5.3, where is that? Notwithstanding the terms of this order, the children's court can continue doing what it was doing, giving orders, whatever, extending, and so on. If I read it in the manner I understand it, it says the status quo, although it is not going to be allowed to undermine the court decision, you are not going to say, for instance, let me just give you an example. Child X's order has lapsed, let me put that way, during the 24 months. And it means under normal circumstances you are supposed to apply for renewal. 5.3 seems to be saying, whilst the fact that child X has not renewed will not affect the right to be paid, the requirement that it must be renewed in the normal process must continue. Are we together?
Yes.
Am I correct in reading it that way? Now, my frustration, let me tell you now, so that you guys can learn. I'm asking all the members that should be patient, that we don't talk figures. If you don't find one another in substance, you figure, actually you move quick in figures. You may not even need to read them, for that matter. Here's my frustration, TJ, is that what is happening in 5.3 is what has taken is what has put us under court challenge. What is happening in 5.3? And because what is happening in 5.3 has affected children who could not be renewed because of the capacity in the department. Am I correct? Capacity and processes. And its capacities, its lack of alignment with the courts and other special institutions, its lack of alignment and capacity. It can include a number of things and so on. Lack of free flow of information, a lot of elements of capacity and that are institutional and otherwise, which are required to happen in 5.3, created a situation where you are told by the court these delays are illegal. Therefore, you must amend. But however, 5.3 must continue. I want just to ask you to educate the public and this committee. Because where I'm sitting, I seem to understand it to be saying the very situation that created the problems that put you in front of the court will continue. Let me explain what does it mean to me. All what the High Court protests is that your invalidity will not stop you from getting your money. But however, the need for that invalidity, the need for correcting that invalidity in terms of this 5.3, the need for correcting that is not precluded from taking place. Now, which means it will require you to conduct yourself to meet the requirements that created the problems that landed you in court. Am I correct? I want you to work with these committees, because where I'm sitting, Minister, is that I'm going to make it worse so that we're together. Where I'm sitting is that it's like we go somewhere and say, the distance we carry this bucket of water, which is 20 liters, we don't have a lot of people to assist us to reach the 100 meter mark on time. As a result, anyone who has not reached the 20 meter mark will not be considered to have carried the bucket or whatever, or that water will not be considered proper. Now the court says, even if you have not reached that, because you are carrying the water anyway, we consider you. But anyway, you are still required to reach that. So all I'm saying, just work with us on the substance of this matter. Because once I went through your prayers, I know you like your prayers. Once I went through your prayers and I tried to read this thing, unless I'll be happy if you have got your lawyers here to clarify this. I want us to deal with the substance of this matter so that, Minister, we are able to understand if we are going to be able to do this thing or not. Because the reason I'm responding, you are saying these numbers that are here are those that are going to lapse by the end of what you call. Now, the impression I get is that if you say they are going to lapse by the end of November, whatever that deadline is, it doesn't talk to 5.3, who says those that are lapsing during the course of in the intervening period, what sort of requirements do they have for your obligations? I'm sorry for repeating, Leto DG. Can somebody work with us on the substance? Because I don't want us to spend days and days claiming that we can be aeroplanes which we cannot be. I just want to hear. Because the court says, over and above, Minister, it says, report on 6 months intervals. And in the process of doing so, you are being given an opportunity to tell the court of any things where its attention needs to be drawn regarding the difficulties in implementing this. I'm just again flagging that, so that when you respond, you must also take into account. Because if I listen from you, you seem to be saying, this thing is implementable. That's why you are committing to implement it in that way. I've said a lot. I want your team, Minister, to clarify the substance of the matter. Remove all the confusion that I have in my head.
Chairperson, I'm going to ask that the team deals with it, but at the same time, I'm requesting them not to create further confusion, because if we, sometimes you know when you're not able to present your entire thing, they've got to be able to respond particularly to what we are confused about, because the content of why we are here, I think it's clearly stipulated in the report, but they can go back to that if they feel there's a need for them to do that. But I'd rather we focus specifically on what the chairperson is asking for before we go ahead with the report.
Thank you, Minister and Honourable Chairperson and members.
I do have my legal team that will add if there are things that I have not added. But I think what the Honorable Chairperson is saying, we need to then go back to the prayers so that we unpack and then we will move with the same understanding. Chairperson, prayer two. Unfortunately, I didn't put the prayers in this presentation, but in the last presentation, yes, the last presentation had those prayers. I think they were two. Yes. Yes. So we can start praying, Honorable Chairperson. The prayer two, I think we'll come to prayer five, where there's 5.3, so that we also talk, but it's important that we start here. I think what the court said was that the prayer two is 2.1 and 2.2. Let me start with 2.1. 2.1 was focusing more on the legal provisions, because it was saying the reason why there's a problem with foster care or the system itself is clogged, is clear, there's a problem with the legal provisions that needs to be resolved. That's one. Now, 2.2 is now beginning to zoom into the key issues. It says the delay in putting in place the necessary mechanisms, structures, resources to ensure that this system of foster care operates in a sustainable and effective manner was regarded unconstitutional, unlawful, and invalid. What comes below that now is prayer three. It says, the declarations of invalidity in that paragraph two, which is prayer two, is suspended for 24 months from the date of this order, which means that comprehensive legal solution suspended 24 months. Prayer 2.2 on mechanism, structures, resources, 24 months. Now, prayer four now gives direction to the minister, to the first respondent, says within 15 months there is that suspension, make sure you table a legal solution. Yeah? We go. Prayer 5 now. We're coming to the prayer 5. Now it says, during the period of that suspension of 24 months, because under normal circumstances, the Children's Act has got a provision in section 159 that says these must be renewed every 2 years. So now, Social Development as a department has deemed to have failed to implement this section. Of the court has said you have failed by putting system, because for you to implement 159, you need social workers, you need this, you need that, those mechanisms, resources, and all that. Yes. So the suspension that was referred to there, it provided, now the court said, because you have failed, we are providing an interim regime for you to relieve the system. Number one interim regime is that any foster care order, which as the date of that court order is in existence or has lapsed due to the fact that the department didn't go back to court to extend for the further 2 years, will remain valid for a period of 24 months from the date of this order, of which the 24 months is expiring in November this year. Or until, because their children will be reaching 18 even before the 24 months, whichever comes first. Thank you, Chairperson. Now, we go to 5.2. It continues, it says, any foster care order which has lapsed due solely to a failure to obtain an extension in terms of that section, section 159(1)(b) of the Children's Act, shall be deemed to be validly in place for 24 months from the date of that order, whatever comes first. 5.3 is the one that the chairperson was hammering on. The court said, irrespective of that regime that we're giving you, interim of saying the 24 months, they are deemed valid, nothing prevents you from reverting back to your provisions of the Children's Act by going back to court and extending those orders, even the orders that are affected by the court order, which means the ones that have been given a breather. You can still take those to court to make sure that you extend them for the next 24 months. Now, when I talk 89,000, 5 something, 538, I'm saying
These are the numbers that require 5.3 implementation. So that come end of November, we have valid orders that are not protected by court order, because this court order shall have lapsed. The 24 months shall have lapsed. As we speak, we'll say, yes, we have an interim relief of these 24 months. But beyond November, there won't be any relief. Therefore, these 89,538, they are currently protected by the interim regime. But come November, end of November, they won't be protected. Hence, provinces are all expected to make sure that these 89,538 have been extended through the normal provisions of the Children's Act, which is section 159. Others can also use 186, which is a long-term placement, and other mechanisms. So this is what it means, Honorable Chairperson.
We're not changing anything, Court. Let me just tell you, there is nothing you have changed, but you're not answering my why. Your presentation says, when you read these figures, that's what provoked the question. You said, which may lapse by the end. When you speak such English, you are not dealing with those which are lapsing during the period. You were so shut your answer. You said, that's why I got worried. You said, which lapse by the end of the deadline. Because that's why I said, because what about those that are lapsing in between? If you get my point, remember the lapsing continues almost every day during the 24 months. But your opening words, it says, which lapse by the end. And so I said, what do you mean now? Because if I read 5.3 is in the manner you have explained. But your articulation says something else. That's what worried me. Because now if you say, I think you have answered that question, that and actually you have said your opening remarks could have been wrong in your explanation. Your explanation is assisting. It is explaining in the manner we understand. But let's come back now. So let me just walk colleagues, honorable members. 24 months means, during this period of 24 months, there could be lapsing at any point in time. Are we together? And whatever lapses during that point in time, during the course of 24 months, in terms of the suspension, it is valid. Are we together? Not which lapse at the end of the deadline. It is the language that was used that could worry us. Because you said those who should lapse by the end. Now, whatever lapses during this period, fine. I think that has been clarified. The second thing that worries me, Minister, I think that one has been clarified. The second thing that worries me is, it doesn't change what we're worried about now. That 5.3 says, that's why legal people must assist. This thing, when it says notwithstanding the term of this order, nothing shall prevent a children's court during the existence of this order. There are two possibilities there, or there are two meanings, or there could be one meaning. There's a meaning that could be saying, the legal requirements that you were executing before this order should be executed in the same way they were being executed. Although the advantage you have now, the recipients of payment will not be affected. But you continue all those who love, the processes you used to follow, you follow those processes, you do that work. Remember, if you continue that way, our understanding is that the problem you had, which led to this situation, hasn't changed during this 24 months. Let me just give you an example so that you understand what we're worried about. If you go to your metrics, it says, in this province, 9,000, so many cases per social worker. I just counted in Gauteng. A week is 1,700 and something. But remember, the court, they must go via the court. if we follow 5.1 to court, 5.3. And ideally, if they were not going via the court, this would be an easy process. But if you have to follow 5.3, it takes you back to the problem that took you to the court. You get my point? So I wanted people to clarify. I'm not making a disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer. I'm articulating to the lawyers the understanding I have, so that lawyers can correct my understanding. That I don't have a reason to be scared. Where I'm sitting, if 5.3 says do what took you to the court, and your capacity hasn't changed, your resources haven't changed, your systems haven't changed, you are writing even in your report that your information system, all those things are still a problem and so on. Nothing has changed. In other words, your capacity remains the same. The capacity that took you to the High Court. So what I want to be, what minister, so that we can be able to move, what must be alleged is that, is the court saying here, you've got an option. If it says legal court orders are not simple, is nothing shall prevent. Some can argue it's on the negative. And so if they say it's on the negative, it means you may bypass that. You may do that. That's why I want legal people now. Do we have an option? That's the point I want to know. Do we have an option not to follow 5.3? If we don't have an option, it sticks us to the old system in which we are. Can the department help us cross that river, and then anxieties will be gone?
Going to court and being illegal in delays.
So, because we were asking this simple question. A lot of things that you go to court for can be simply be done by the department. Can be simply be done, but your team was able to show us it's a legal requirement. Now, legal requirement, instead of resolving problems, it's complicating them. Right? Because what the department could have simply sorted, arranged, processed in an institutional, administratively coordinated way. Because court must take decisions. And sometimes courts have got different views on this. Sometimes courts, because of their capacity, don't actually see it. And this thing, the point I'm trying to make, the situation that led to this problem, let a friend, hasn't changed. Now, that's why now the question is, if you were not able to meet these requirements before the court order, why, on what basis now are you committing that you will meet the deadline? That's exactly why the committee was worried. After analyzing the process, they said, you are not convincing us that you can implement this. I remember Honorable Abraham said, if I take a particular point on a daily basis, this is what you're supposed to do. So I use Gauteng. I say Gauteng, 1,750 a week. It doesn't matter how many cases you give to which social work, but they must follow a particular process, via court, via whatever. Now the question is, the requirements of your work have not changed, other than the relief of those children who have just lost. But the requirements have not changed across the board. The capacity is the same. The processes are the same. Everything is almost the same. So that's why then, DG, I said, when you say turn around, we want you now to show us why do you think these things by the end of what you call, by the end of November, they would have been done. Because one of the worries we have, by the way, and that advice, the bill is not even yet in front of us. The second issue is that when the bill is, let us say there's a miracle, which I know is not going to happen in Parliament. That's, you know, Parliament is one of the slowest things I've ever seen in my life. Even, I've never seen a slow thing like that. So, even if there's a debate and there's an agreement in November, implementation will take a long time. There's that lack, implementation lack, and so on. So, the point I'm trying to make is that when you deal with these issues, when you say a turnaround on something, up front you say, by the end of the 28th of November, I'm expected to be in this situation. Concretely, you articulate it. And you say, but before I get to that situation, this is the change that must have taken place. And for the change to take place, this is the capacity I require. Now, we've made this, I think I've clarified myself, Mr. Mchurchis. You guys now, I'm not going to interrupt you now. Because the questions, but it's important. We need clarity on these issues. On these issues, Minister, we need clarity. Yes. Now, what I'm going to do, when you do the turnaround presentation, show us something different from what you committed to do 2 weeks ago. Because what you committed to 2 weeks ago made the committee to say, we are not comfortable. Unless you are saying what you presented 2 weeks ago, we misunderstood it. It's going to make the... And I promise, Minister, exalnive your pregnant.
Through you, Chair, can I ask the team then to continue with the presentation, and I'm going to ask that please don't get out of the presentation, because if you get out of the presentation, that's where sometimes you end up making comments that will then create questions when actually the answers are still coming through the presentation. If you can, Connie, as far as you possibly can, just stay within the limits of your presentation so that you don't instigate misunderstandings and confusion.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members, and thank you, Minister. I will try to stick to the text. With this slide, Honorable Chair, I was indicating the slide 9. I think we're in slide 9 when the discussion started to happen. This is where we're talking about the 89,538, which requires the social workers to go back to court for extension. So what you see there is breakdown per province. Gauteng was the first one to say how are they going to deal with their share of numbers, and then followed by Free State, which has got 6,465 cases according to that table, and this is how also they are indicating how they're going to deal with those cases. And Limpopo also indicated they've got 5,313. They also indicated what extraordinary measures are they going to put in place to ensure that they deal with the cases. Then followed by Northwest, which has got 8,652. Then the provinces go on with Eastern Cape with lots of numbers of 18,000, which I spoke to in the table. Northern Cape has got 1,181 cases. Mpumalanga with the least numbers of 929 cases. Western Cape, 9,517. KZN, 29,484 cases. Now, Jefferson, provinces continue to indicate challenges which are real. You will see the issue of resources still is coming, where the social workers, although they've increased, but the numbers are still not enough to be able to deal with this work, but also the financial and technical resources that they also indicated. This slide speaks to challenges that are picked up from all the 9 reports, so we'll try to summarize them. But what is also important, they raise an issue in all the reports of implementation of Regulation 56 of the Children's Act, which requires advertisement for the abandoned and orphaned children. And this causes delays. As much as justice must also be available with resources and the sittings of the Children's Court, but if this is not done, most magistrates, they say, where is the proof to show that you have advertised so that you comply with Regulation 56? As a result, that made, at that time when the report was compiled, Limpopo to say, as much as we'll deal with all the other cases, we have this specific number of 1490 that may delay because of the advertisement period. Yes, amongst other reasons, they say, if we have to advertise, it means this number we won't be able to meet by November. But subsequent to that, I'll talk to it when we go to the legal solution as to what is the current status. Then also the issue of unabridged birth certificate, because some magistrates are saying we need unabridged birth certificate for these children. And the time turnaround time for Home Affairs is 6 weeks, you have to pay a fee for you to apply the unabridged. And some caregivers are saying they're not affording. I'll talk to what is it that we have put in place to resolve this matter. But also there are provinces that also indicated that as much as some courts are supportive and coming forward, but some, they really struggle to get court dates and issuing speedily the court orders. And there's a last one that is more internal that we also have put systems in place, the Form 30. The Form 30 is more on the screening of your caregivers as to whether they are fit to be taking care of children in terms of child protection register, so that you clear them in the register to check if they have not been found or they have not been found to be unsuitable to work with children. So some were saying, as much as National is trying, but is within the law of 21 days, can we do better than the 21 working days, so that we assist the process in making sure that the court documents are all in place. Now, what is it that we have put in place to resolve those issues that were raised? We said the Form 30s have to be issued within 7 working days. As we receive them from individual provinces for the next 3 months where the court cases need to be taken back to court. And then we also said we need weekly visits to provinces to support those provinces that require. They are already scheduled dates for provinces that are going to be visited. We have visited some to support them in terms of making sure that they deal with the foster care challenge and with key stakeholders like your judiciary and all. But also we have already engaged with Home Affairs to check the possibility of waiving the fees at an administrative level, but also to say, can they issue unabridged before the six weeks has lapsed. So they said that is doable, but if Thursday they can receive a written digit-to-digit request formally, that can be resolved also so that it assists the process. But what is also important, Chair, is the next bullet that says we have engaged the judiciary, because we are also suggesting that can they issue interim orders while awaiting certain documents. Let's say, for instance, Home Affairs says, okay, we can reduce 6 weeks to 4 weeks. But if social workers are to take cases to court every week, it means somehow you might find that an unabridged birth certificate is still awaited. So we're saying, can the court say, once there's a proof that has been applied, can they issue an interim order subject to a final documentation submitted for a final order? And we have since discussed with the judiciary, they have communicated with the, we have a letter to that effect, they communicate with all the clusters in the 9 provinces to also look into this matter and say, can we assist social development to clear their backlogs in terms of ensuring that their dates, but also the consideration of the interim order. But also we need to make sure that the Regulation 56, we get a legal solution. So what happened was that the legal team at National and the legal team for Limpopo, they met because they have got a number of 1490 that is going to be impacted negatively by this Regulation 56. They have since indicated that they will meet the deadline. That number will be passed as long as those 3 top bullets are dealt with. The issue of interim court order, because interim court order will also include Regulation 56 to say, once we advertise, can we issue an interim order so that if there's any other person who comes forward, the court can say, but here's the father or here's the whoever who's supposed to come forward after the advert has been issued. And if there's no one coming out after the period, then a final court order can be issued. Now, I won't go through in details in terms of each provincial report, but what is important, what is coming out in all the reports is that provinces have tried to allocate tools of trade for this specific purpose, and also making sure that there's a project called Litrima in Eastern Cape, they call it Ilima, where they take social workers from one district to the other district to support each other, where there's a more concentration of foster care cases so that they deal with them. So when you go through all these provinces, you realize that they've put systems in place in terms of tools of trade and also the Litsima or Ilima to be able to deal with this. But what is interesting, they've declared certain days to be foster care days. For instance, Limpopo has dedicated all their Wednesdays to focus on foster care. Western Cape also, they've put system in place where every, on a weekly basis, they monitor how the foster care cases are dealt with. But also what is interesting is their meetings with the key stakeholders, your Justice and Constitutional Development and Home Affairs, to expedite those individual complex cases, because in most cases, not all cases that are complex, but there are those that require intervention by the specific departments. The Free State also indicated that they put their systems in place, including weekly monitoring reports. And also their meetings with key stakeholders, including SASA, to monitor and reconcile data, because they need to get through reflection of what is in the SOC pen and the reality of the number of cases that are still outstanding, but also the issue of tools of trade. Northwest, similar thing. The issue of Litsima is coming out, that they also embarking on Litsima to be able to deal with the cases that are affected, but also bringing social auxiliary workers also to support the social workers in conjunction and working with the judiciary and other stakeholders. But also the monitoring, weekly monitoring, is coming out in all the provinces. Northern Cape, I just want to indicate that they have already put in systems in place, but to just make sure that the final bullet, Honorable Chairperson, that talks about 20 September 29, it's actually 20 November 2019. Where they say they will finalize all the investigations for cases lapsing from September to November 2019. By 20 September, it's supposed to be 20 November 2019. Then Gauteng, similar strategies. They also declared Tuesdays and Wednesdays to be foster care days, where they will implement the Litsima approach and make sure that they deal with the affected cases. Mpumalanga, with their less number, they also put systems in place where they have weekly meetings for monitoring and making sure that they track all their cases and make sure that they appear before the children's court. And I must safely say that this is one of the provinces that started also long ago to revert back to the provisions of the Children's Act also. Eastern Cape, they've got similar strategies. I think the next two slides speaks about what Eastern Cape has put in place to make sure that on a weekly basis they also monitor the affected cases, how they are dealt with. But they are also in the Ilima, it's the same thing as Litsima, but they call it Ilima, where they draw in skills and capacity from other districts to support a concentration of cases in a particular district. But most importantly, they've already engaged, and we supported them also in meeting their cluster head within the justice system to ensure that they are assisted, and we got a positive response from the Justice Department. So it was now KZN, similar strategies, where also they will be monitoring their cases on how, and they involve social auxiliary workers also to support social workers in ensuring that they deal with the cases. But you can see the issue of tools of trade, but also working with SASA and other key stakeholders, very, very crucial. Now, what are the commitments that we are making to the portfolio committee? Is that all provinces have committed to deal with cases that are due to be attended to by November, but also the team at National will continue supporting all provinces to make sure that on a weekly basis there's a tracking of all these cases. And we will report to the committee on a monthly basis commencing end of September, where we'll give an improved picture as to where we are. We are also suggesting that within 7 working days we'll submit to the committee, because the provinces need to submit to National for consolidation. I think the issue of Limpopo as a commitment is dealt with, because it was resolved when the presentation was already sent. And also the issue of legal services beginning to engage Limpopo on that matter, which has already happened. Then I recommend that the committee takes note of what is going to happen between now and November in dealing with the cases. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Now,
she's stuck to the text. Any additions or anything? Yes, Minister?
Chairperson, I think we would rather respond to the questions that will be asked, and probably at the end I will also include from my side some of the things that I should take responsibility for in terms of engaging with my counterparts, whether it's in the area of Minister of Justice as well as Home Affairs. Yeah, so I will just include that as part of the presentation, that I'm very much aware of the areas that need my direct responsibility and direct intervention. Otherwise, we'll respond to the questions, and thank you. Back to you, Chair.
One, two, three. One, two, three. Okay. 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 Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are going back to the question that you asked before, that says, are we going to make this deadline? My question is, all those things that you reported last time when we met with you, you said when you tackle this numbers that you have, the new applicants, it start. So I want to know now, today, as I heard you have changed that statement, I want to know now, why is now that you have realized that you must call the stakeholder? You did have an ample time from where the court gave you the order. So what made you think that now, at this moment, you can make a huge number like this, when you said you don't have transport, you don't have social workers? Are your auxiliary equal to the social worker? Will they make it? Or we just make it for compliance? I want to understand what are you thinking, because to me, I think we are playing the very same record, but in another style. It's only in here, but in the record, it say what. So I wanted to get those clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the department and minister for the presentation. I think mine is to further understand the situation now that we've had the presentation. And my question is, the timeline of a turnaround plan, or maybe let me just go back a bit and say, what, for example, are the numbers for December 2019, so that one speaks outside of the court order timeline? What are the estimated numbers of the backlog, but the orders that will expire in December? so that one gets to understand that when things go back to normal, and I would like to know the lifespan of the turnaround plan, where we will have Amalima, Lizima, and all those things that will beef up the challenges that we are having in terms of the tools of trade and social workers and things like that, because we would have deployed for the purposes of clearing the backlog what we do not ordinarily have in terms of all those resources. So I would like to know the lifespan of the turnaround plan with all its beefed up resources, and also the estimated number of the court orders that will expire in December, and how then are we going to deal with those? Because if the lifespan of the plan is up to November 2019, then I would need to understand how are we going to deal with the expired, unprotected orders that will happen in December and obviously going forward. And then, Chair, the presentation also refers to, for example, that we have less than 16,000 social workers to do Children's Act. No. We have less than 16,000 social workers to do all the work, not just the Children's Act. And so my question is, how many exactly do we have? And I think it goes back to just trying to find out how are we faring as far as the resources, the key resources are concerned. So last week, as a last question, Chair, at the last meeting, there was a presentation or a briefing that said that when this work of the foster care backlog project is being done, it takes away, and today it has been clarified and clearly articulated that there will be Amalima and things like that. When that work is being done, it takes away the people that would do other work as well. Are we sitting in a situation where we will have to go back and do Lizima in the other aspects of the work of the department as a result of this? And I think I'm just trying to understand, as the Honourable Chair was asking earlier, if we are actually are solving the problem, or we just, you know, managing it so that we are out of the court and then we go back and do the work. And one would hope, Chair, that the comprehensive legal solution that is contained in the amendment bill that we are awaiting is going to be looking at dealing with all these challenges that the provinces have articulated so clearly, and I believe the report that the Honourable Minister referred to as well did say what the challenges are. So then the amendment bill will then, one is just hoping that it is dealing with that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just a point of clarity on the slides under where the key provincial strategies continue. So it's titled strategies put in place. However, they are wording, like for example under the Eastern Cape, 3G cards will also be allocated. Scanners will also be allocated. So are these tools of trade, do the social workers currently have it, or must they still get these tools of trade? Because as we all know, supply chain procurement processes will take more than a month to actually get this additional 3G card, to get the additional laptops that they need. So do the social workers currently have it, or must they still be procured? Then also, it was previously mentioned in the slide that there was no additional budget given to address the foster care backlog. Can the department please issue us with how much money in the budget allocated now per province, and also where is this miracle money coming from? Will other services within the social welfare suffer? That's number two. Then also just touching on my colleague, I'm not very optimistic. So where is the plan B for looking at, for arguments like the Eastern Cape? If they don't meet their 6,035 by September and 200 of those cases carry over to October, then October is going to have a higher number to deal with. And when October doesn't meet their 6,020 plus the additional 200 that carries over to November, where is the plan B for when other provinces can't meet these targets that are put in front of us? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to just say once again to the Minister, thank you for your overview. Once more, you have spoken as a leader and a caring mother. You know, the Bible says that a wise woman builds her house with her own hands and a foolish one breaks it down with her very same hands. I just hope that you are able to give your team the spirit that you have in your department. I am also a very bit concerned, especially with the budget issue, because you have less than 10% that is allocated. And I think there's something wrong with my system. You have less than 10% budget allocated, and yet, as my colleague has said, there are so many promises that are stated here that are said to be strategies that would be used by provinces to make the deadline be met, that is the November 29th, which I really truly believe that it might not happen. But yet again, I am willing to give a benefit of the doubt, Chairperson. I am willing to wait and see what happens, especially with the issues like the issue of the Home Affairs with your negotiations. To me, it says something is happening. So because we have agreed in this committee that we will have reports. I see now in the report it says monthly. I thought we had agreed that it will be done every second week. So I'm hoping that we can go back to the second week that we agreed on, unless you have other ways that you see it cannot be done. I'm willing that we should wait as the portfolio committee to see what really happens in the next 2 weeks in terms of the Home Affairs, if you are able to waive the fees to get those abridged certificates, if you are willing to speak with the judiciary to help you as well, DG to DG, as you said. But otherwise, Mam Lindiwe, it worries me because 2 weeks ago, I'll make an example with Limpopo. The steps that I have here from 2 weeks ago and the steps that I hear, the Limpopo are worrying because 2 weeks ago Limpopo was on 6,566 backlogs. And in this report now, Chair, I think it's Free State. It was on 8,630. Now it's down with more than 2,000. So I just need to find out, does this mean that the backlog has gone down, or what is the reason to such a huge difference within a space of 2 weeks? How did the numbers go down that drastically that much? Because, and the numbers of social workers that are given here per province, where do these social workers come from all of a sudden? Because we did not have this number of social workers in the presentation that we were given last. So if I can be just clarified on that as well, that Western Cape, it just says that you have 9,517 cases, and it ends there. Just other provinces gave us the number of their social workers and what they plan to do. So what is the story with the Western Cape? But I think, but let us give the department a chance 2 weeks from now and see where do they go with all they've given us here, and then we see the next report. But I am not that optimistic at all. Thank you, Chair.
I like that positive attitude. My attitude is always like this when I work with people. even at a short space of time, whether I was a mayor, MSC, whatever. When an HOT says to me, I'm going to finish this thing in 6 months, I thank the HOT. But if he's not finished in 6 months, he must live with the consequences. But I'm not the one who said, finish it in 6 months. I usually make sure that with my team, they set the deadline so that they mustn't say I imposed a deadline. The deadlines that are here are imposed by the department. And I think that is very assisting to say, if the department believes they can do these things, who are we? But before we go there, there's a legal thing that I want clarified, Mr. Mchochisa. What is the causal legal linkage between clearing these things and the bill? But I'm trying to find, I can't locate it. Why is offloading these things related to the bill? Because even in your prayers, I don't find that relationship. Because you are a lawyer, you can open it and explain to us.
Thanks, Chairperson. The understanding is that the backlog has been caused by various issues that we identified, which at the end of the day led to the order itself that we have before us. But there was also an understanding that even with the order, there is still going to be a challenge in the future, because the order is just an interim relief in relation to the cases that were pending at the time. The linkage now between the linkage now between the bill and the order is that as we progress, okay, sir.
On the linkage between the bill and clearing this backlog. The backlog we're speaking about here. If you can advise the community, what is the legal linkage between the legal linkage, L-E-G something, between clearing this backlog and the bill? Because we're saying the deadline for us to put the bill in place, therefore during this period we must have done A, B, C, D. I want you to show us where is the legal linkage between the two.
Okay, the understanding, Chairperson, is that the bill itself has got provisions that it has introduced in order to assist that there is no backlog in the future. Mm-hmm. So there is the bill that still needs to be introduced in the House.
Okay. Put it differently. Between the court order, the legalities of the court order, and this load. Maybe let's put it differently. I'll explain why I'm asking this question. Well, I want to tell you, if you guys have not created an unnecessary nightmare for yourselves. That's the question I'm trying to throw. Because I'm trying to check, I'm reading your prayers, I'm reading the order. I just want somebody to say to me, if the deadline for the bill to be in place is 28th of November and this load has not been what to call, why are the legal implications? If you can advise.
Thanks, Chair. The understanding is that the bill itself has got provisions that will alleviate the backlog that may ensue in the future, because the current legislation as it stands, it has got challenges with regard to the dealing of this particular case.
You guys educated us about that. You said to us, these are the problems. The amendment will turn around the problems. That's not what I'm asking. I'm saying you've got this backlog here, this specific backlog, which you say you must finish by the end of what you call of November. What you're saying, we all agree, you educated us, and thank you for that. You showed us how the current legal situation undermines your ability to deliver. We are with you. and therefore you put a bill going forward, you must have changed everything, a number of things. But I'm saying this task of this load that is in front of us, I'm asking a question. Let's say the bill is passed on the 28th of November. This load is the way it is. What are the legal? What are the legal implications?
The legal implications, Chairperson, will be as you indicated before, in the sense that if the bill is not in place, we will go back to the very same situation in which we were before. That has actually created the backlog.
No, this is a lawyer, please. All I'm saying, Minister, I'm not sure the question I'm trying to raise. Because I'm looking at the stressful load that you guys are having. Because where I'm sitting, if the bill is in place, let's say by the 28th of November, wherever this load is, the life changes. If there are still outstanding things before the 28th of November, you might find a way of taking them. Because they don't appear in your court, what to call. This load, I'm not sure whether it appear in your court, what to call, in your court order. So this is what I'm saying. When you go back, probably, let's not discuss it here. When you go back, interrogate this. You are saying you have got, how many? 89,000. And you are saying, by the end of November, which is aligned with the passing of the what to call, am I correct? Of the bill. No. I want to know what is this 20. Remember the 24 what? 24 weeks. 24 months. If I understand it, because that's why I said substance is important. 24 months, I understand it to mean you are expected legally to correct this thing during that period by putting in a bill, right? And if I understand you, you gave yourself a deadline by the end of, what? November. Now, all I'm asking is that check the legal linkage between you clearing this load and putting that bill in place. Because if there's no relationship, this is my argument, if there's no relationship, a lot of focus must be in fast-tracking the, what to call, the bill, which deals with the load. In other words, you balance, Minister, what I'm saying that you balance pushing this load with implementing the, what to call, the bill. Right. This is what I want to. So I'm saying, if you don't have that, and all the responses you have given them, with due respect, they're not responding to what I'm asking. Because, and I started by explaining that if, because in your court order, I don't find a court order that says, all the load between the deadline, it doesn't say during these 24 weeks, make sure. It doesn't say during these 24 weeks, make sure that this load doesn't exist. I don't find that in your order. I hope now you're going to assist us now. Proceed.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. I think the order is saying the department must come up with a comprehensive legal solution to deal with yes. And part of that comprehensive legal solution is suggested by the court, that the department must come up with the bill. And that comprehensive legal solution is there in the bill, which must be passed within the period of 24 months, that is from the date, 15 months from the date of the order, of which that bill was expected to have been introduced in this house by February, end of February this year. Because the understanding was that even if there is this interim relief of 24 months in relation to the backlog, there is still going to be a challenge in the future because the legislation itself has got shortcomings. So the relationship between, or the linkage between this bill and this 24 months period is that at the end of the interim relief, that is by the end of November, at least if the legislation is in place, it will mean that there are more provisions that are now able to assist the department in clearing the backlog. That is what I was trying to present.
Minister, I request that you go back to the department and answer this question. Because my question is clear. Question is clear. I don't understand where is the confusion in this question. Am I correct, Minister, when I say my question is clear? Yeah.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think your question is very clear. And in my head, what is running through, especially with regard to the bill that you were talking about and the question that you asked way earlier about the bill, and I inquired quickly about those processes, and in fact not even inquired, because in the process of reading the documents, I was made aware in the documents that the minister, Minister Shabang, had submitted for the bill to the leader of government business. There was a letter that was clearly indicating, and that letter was done in the spirit of what is being said, with the hope that that time things would have been speeded up. But the bill was not, as far as I could understand. And the explanation there, you know, we went to elections and all that, and you know my view about the issue of elections, which I've expressed before, that we must not find ourselves in this situation of talking about elections, because it's the politicians out there that deal with elections. Mm-hmm. But the processes must be pushed, and we as a department cannot be the one that says, oh, because we're going to elections, so we decided. So I would respectfully request that we go back as a department and put in place a comprehensive response to this so that members can be satisfied with it. But because otherwise I'm feeling now we're going to be doing a tit for tat or exchanging without necessarily, because legal issues, I may upfront say, they are complicated. And if you don't understand it properly, you'll end up saying things and then later you are tongue-tied about it. Because even the legal person is trying to understand your question, but not necessarily responding in the manner in which you want. So give us an opportunity and a chance to go back and give us a time frame, actually, because this is very separate from the bigger picture. You just need an answer specifically. Then this one shouldn't take us long.
Okay. I must thank you, Minister, because you understand the nature of the question I'm asking. If you check, we're doing this in trying to protect the department. But are you not carrying a monster you're not supposed to carry? Maybe you can carry different. Maybe you are supposed to do this work, by the way. But is there no different way in which you could carry this monster? Okay? Because I'm looking at yourselves like 28th of November, we will commit suicide if this load has not been finished. Now, the question is, are there legal implications? That is a question you must answer. Yeah, so it's fine. All right, I think you've assisted, Minister, to say that legal thing must be clarified. By the way, Connie, even if it fails, there's no legal relationship. It doesn't change the burden that this work must be done. But at least now, when you separate the two, you are able to say, my salvation lies in resolving that one. We are saying publicly, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All other things will follow. So in other words, what is your kingdom here? Your kingdom task. Right. So, Minister, can your people respond? Questions have been raised. Thank you. Thank you for your intervention.
Chairperson, if through you, may I request also that where provinces need to respond, they must respond so that we don't answer for them and then again we find ourselves tangling ourselves up.
I think the spirit of Honorable Delisio that says, at the end of the day, If the department says they are going to implement this plan, ours is to monitor the progress. We don't want to spend time here to claim to know the technicalities in the department, but we are raising questions which are created by obvious presentations. But at the end of the day, the department says we are going to implement this thing. So, thank you, Minister. Take and proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I will deal with the questions that are cross-cutting and national, and then maybe key provinces will also respond.
Thank you.
Yes. Honorable Chair, I will deal with the issue of social auxiliary workers, whether they are qualified to do the job or not. Yes, by the nature of their job, social auxiliary workers are qualified to support social workers. They don't do the court processes, but the supportive work in terms of visiting families, you know, collecting information and all that. That's what we mean by supporting social workers. And then the timelines, there was a question around December, what are the projections? The projections, as we presented in the last meeting, it's 8,471. So let's say we deal with all these 89,538, it means in December, all provinces will have to deal just with 8,471 for December. Those are the projections for December. Mm-hmm. The lifespan of the turnaround plan, our understanding was that when we left the meeting last week was to say to the committee, what is it that you're going to do to make sure that by November, this the clock is cleared. However, there's a bigger project plan beyond this that deals with issues of foster care moving forward, which if it's required, we can submit. Then the other, there was an issue around social workers that are less than 16,000. All I was saying is that at the previous meeting, there was a question that says, have you costed the Children's Act? Yes, we did cost the Children's Act. So what the Children's Act indicated, the costing report thereof, was saying we need 16,000 social workers to implement just the Children's Act. That's what I was saying. But then in the country as a whole, for social workers that are employed within the department, they are less than that, which the number I will provide, and I don't have the exact number with me, but we do have more social workers registered in the council, but they may not be implementing or practicing all of them. Then I think the provinces will indicate if the Letsema is implemented, what will happen beyond the Letsema in terms of other areas that needs to be also attended to. So I think those were the key issues for national. Thank you.
If possible, the minister may give the provinces to Ken. Give us those synopsis of their progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was an issue about what happens if we don't meet the targets. I think that question hasn't been answered. And also that question, even though it's national, it also has what the provinces do has got an impact on. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think on this particular one,
Chairperson, excuse me.
Sorry,
Chairperson. I think we have given provinces chances to also respond for themselves. Why don't we give them opportunity to do that, Minister?
No, Mamba. I think what the Minister... I take your point, but I think the Minister said any province that wants to come in will come in. Let's leave it in that way. If they don't come in, it means they are happy with the response. I see you here, Raja.
Through you, Chair, as the Chair said, the provinces can speak.
I just simply said there was one issue which wasn't answered, but that wasn't stopping the provinces from making their contribution.
I agree with you.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson. I want to just respond on what will happen if we don't meet the deadline. It will be the contempt of court. So the people cited in the court order, the end of November.
In terms of the appeal?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. In terms of the court orders, the foster care orders, they asked the question, what will happen if this number, 89538, is not dealt with? That was the question. So I'm saying it's contempt of
court. No. Where do you find that in the court order?
The what?
What you've just said now. Where do you find that in the court?
Contempt of court.
No. You say it's 89,000 land. Where do you find that in the court order? Means you see it in the court order. Show us where is this thing in the court order which you are saying.
The numbers were not in the court order. So we know the cases that were affected by the court order. So now, when we projected, looking at the case...
How were they affected by the court order?
They were... How do I say it? The soft pen, remember, Chairperson? The soft pen is a system in FAFSA that captures all the foster care cases that are receiving grants, and it shows which this one is the period of 2 years elapsed, when is it lapsing. So the projections are taken from there.
Again, Minister, we said that one, there's no one who's going to answer that one. I can tell you now. Because it's what the lawyer said must explain. Because if you listen to the court order, all what the court order says is that those beneficiaries that are in existence or those that have lapsed during this period, they are not invalid for payment. It doesn't say anything beyond that. Anything else that you are adding, you must find it in the court order. Okay, I can't find it. That's why I was saying let the lawyers explain that. Are we together? Yes. It says, during these 24 weeks, what lapses, which normally is supposed to be invalid, is not invalid during these 24 weeks. Whatever, it says those who are in the system are paid. Right? So all I'm saying to you, it is not saying what you're saying, unless we're missing something in the court order. So that's why I'm saying let what the minister undertook to do, because you're going back to what we thought we discussed and ran away from. Now you are taking us back there. Because the question was, that's why I was asking deliberately, when the deadline is going to be off what? I was deliberate when I was asking that question. Because I know you are given a particular period by the court to put in a comprehensive legal solution, which can only come from the appeal, which is supposed to be in process. But we're talking about this load issues here, your 89. I'm requesting that let what the minister said undertook be done. Yeah. Proceed. I'm sitting, Minister. If you wouldn't mind, I don't know anything.
He has given a specific message on how this thing is going to be. And he gives that based on the approach they are taking, this will be. And then we agree that we are going to monitor on a regular basis. Just to answer
Honorable
Denisiwe. What we said, they should advise. We may agree or disagree on the frequency. Mm-hmm. I still believe, Minister, that we can alternate the 2 weeks. The other second week, a report is circulated. The other second week, we meet. You get my point? The other second week, you send us a progress report. The other second week, we meet. Unless there's something fundamental that the department wants to deal with, your report is very specific on what you're going to do. Preferably, if there's no, there must be a fundamental reason why are we continuing the meeting. But let's leave it to the minister.
Chair, I'm not sure if the provinces don't want to say something. They traveled long distances. Maybe they might say what.
Thank you.
That's not too long because I see members are looking at the time. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, and greetings again to the committee and the minister. Just to answer in the question related to the tools of trade and procurement, all the tools of trade, in addition to what was already there, has been procured in the province, and additional 155 laptops have already been procured and distributed with additional 3G cards and vehicles.
So they are on the table for use?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Chair. Then additional to that, we have where we engage Department of Health with their rental options for motor vehicles, but we're also sharing resources with CIFA, which is already ongoing. Further, are the agreements, as reflected in the report with the Department of Justice, we already have an agreement as a province with the Department of Justice in terms of the prioritization of the foster care cases and an agreement with Home Affairs as well. It's already in place.
Thank you, Chair. In the Western Cape, we've got 572 social workers dealing with the cases that we have to extend by the deadline. The totals have already gone down by 1,000 since the presentation info was submitted, so we're actually at 8,500 now, not 9,500. The biggest concern we have, and it's probably going to be a major bottleneck for us, is the courts. There is a number of courts in the Western Cape that are refusing to extend orders, saying that the orders are valid until the 29th of November, and they therefore will not give attention to extensions. We have raised this with the Chief Magistrate, and we've also asked the National Department to intercede on our behalf with the Department of Justice. And there are also some courts that are sitting with just not enough magistrates. They can't deal with the numbers. So if anything, if we do get to the end of the period and there are still outstanding cases, it will not be due to a shortage of resources at the department. It will actually be due to a shortage of resources in the courts.
Any other? Please, if it's reassurance. Remember, we said we believe you. Did you say that? So I don't know what you want to explain now. Because we said we believe. Because you may say something that takes away our belief. Are we together? I'm protecting yourself against yourself. Kingdom? Kingdom. There's only one kingdom here.
Thank you, Chairperson. To the minister. Minister, we have really committed ourselves as KZN in saying we will take this in a war room fashion, whereby districts will be sitting on Tuesdays, then on Wednesdays the reports will go to the province. That's our commitment on that one. It is our monitoring tool whereby we are saying we do commit ourselves, because we do have AMA auxiliary nurses which are there. They are within the department. Mm-hmm. They are trained, they have all the capacity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, I must close this exercise. Minister, do you want to make any closing words?
Yes, Chairperson. listen, there is no intention of suppressing anyone. I think the decision that said we're going to combine and have one report, I can assure you I've gone through the provincial reports. And one of the reasons why we had to have our meeting this morning before coming here was just to make sure that we are all in one, number one. Number two, it doesn't mean when we leave this room, the continued engagement stops here when we leave this room. It means that all the provinces, and for my office, I would have to really take responsibility also of just monitoring the reports that are coming in from the different provinces, because I could see from the provinces also they are not at the same level, which therefore means our responsibility is to try and focus on the provinces that are having some challenges. I mean, the Eastern Cape for me was one of the first with the worry, because I was looking at the figures and seeing that the figures are quite high. But here the MEC has indicated what they are doing. And with regard to the reports, I think I'd like to say I agree with the chairperson when he says one week we you get the reports, and then the other is put on the agenda. Because being on the agenda, by the way, Chair, I see it also as a way of ensuring that the reporting is done timeously. Because, by the way, we also appreciate and understand why there is oversight. Oversight is not a quarrel. Oversight is about ensuring that we are able to account as a department. I've already indicated earlier that I would want to engage with the ministers. It also includes the Minister of Finance, by the way, which I didn't mention. I only spoke to the other two ministers. I think it's important for us to engage, even though we understand and appreciate the challenges that are being faced by the country in terms of budget and so forth. I just want to say in closing, Chair, some of the questions that are being asked here are questions that I myself am asking the department. One of the questions that I asked even this morning, you made a presentation, I saw the presentation. I'm not the one that's sitting in each and every one of your desks, but I believe in you because I think you believe you can see where we're going. I ask the question, are you sure that what we are being presented here is something that we can be able to manage, but also to deal with this? I was told there's no backlog, by the way. That's a discussion for some other time. But the issue is, it's about the explanation, which I think when sometimes we are explaining is the usage of the words that we use. And I'm saying to this portfolio committee, I and my department, as well as the provinces and all, it's the language that we use that either makes people have the confidence or get confused. So we will have to fix that language, because when it said there's no backlog, numbing it, but what you're talking about when you said this? But when they explain it to me, I then get to understand. And unfortunately, we have little time sometimes to explain these things. But I just would like to thank the chair, thank the members, thank everybody, and to say the spirit with which we are working for me continues to be the spirit of us as South Africans across the board, irregardless of our political affiliation. We know where the politics are. We know where the issues are for us to deal with the real challenges of our people. And personally, I'm looking for those gems among those children who are fostered. But I'm also looking to the department and all relevant structures to deal with corruption, to deal with people who are out there claiming to be foster parents, and yet in reality they are not doing that. I went with the MEC for social development in the Eastern Cape, and me and her were pained in some places where we find that some are saying, gee, it's good to have social development. They are dependent on social development. So for me, the other issues that we need to do to alleviate the situation are important. But we also found in one home where the grandmother No, not even the grandmother, great-grandmother. Grandmother and grandfather, or great-grandfather, are sitting in the home. The father, the mothers of the children are somewhere in KZN. The money goes to them before it gets there. And this is what I believe we need to really deal with. And so even in your oversight, it will be important for us to have that appreciation that the problem is not just sitting with us here, it's also sitting with citizens out there who think this money is for them to do what they are not supposed to do. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Minister. You are sustaining, you are keeping the spirit of positive relations with the COVID, and I think we should sustain that. I'm looking forward to the day when the children are going to have a computer chip so that you know where the children are. As you press the computer, it says the children are in Cape Town, and then it goes where they are. Computer chip, for instance, when you run Comrades, you can be tracked wherever you are in Comrades. That's why people who lie in Comrades, you get checked, but you didn't pass this point. How did you get here? So they put it on your shoe, on animals, they put it under the skin. I can't wait for a day when children will be, have a computer chip. This thing ends. If money goes only where they are. And then if you send it, you go to check what it was spent for that purpose. Right? So I think, thanks Minister for that. We must allow you, thank you to the department, all of you guys. Let's not lose confidence, let's not lose inspiration, commitment, passion. We all work together. We are together in this challenge. It's not just a departmental challenge. That's why the committee members wanted to know, are you going to do this? If anything else should be done, they're worried, they want to be part of these difficulties. Thank you very much, Minister. Honourable members, we've got two things. I don't know if we cannot leave them after the recess, because those are the things that we can do. The minutes and the third term program. Can we leave it? We are allowed this. All right. Anyway, it doesn't take the program, the minutes. All right, the minutes of July, of September again. The minutes of the 10th of July, 21st of August, 4th September, 11th September. I'm tabling them for adoption. Honorable Mtao?
I'm moving for the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Right.
As right. Yes.
Any second then? All of them. All of them. All of them. Thank you. We are seconded. The program, the third term committee program. No, somebody must propose. I'm going to take on it.
Mr. Chair, we looked at the program and I think it suits well because it indicates that the Wednesdays that we used to own. I'm adopting that.
No, the program.
Yes, Chair, I second that the adoption of the proposal, the draft program, should be approved.
Thank you. At that point, with the powers vested in me, I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much. Thank you.